thinking about the business was this was going to be a place where people can come and meet someone new. And that was almost kind of like a side that happened.
Yeah.
And that's why I stress that, you know, it's someplace where you can come to alone, but you won't leave feeling like you're alone.
Right.
Because of the twists and the turns.
Yeah.
and the way that I run Writing and Wine, you always have to talk to someone.
Exactly. So. And you talking to people that have if they don't have the mutual interest, I mean, the mutual interest is at least the intrigue of exploring
right.
this.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Who knows where it's going to go from there.
Right. I've had a couple of folks, and this was up in northern Jersey in Hoboken. I think one was Hoboken, one was Jersey City, where a guy came back to, or a young man came back to another Writing Wine. He goes, yeah, I met my girlfriend at Writing Wine.
Oh, that's who would have known?
Who knew? But, yeah, so I've seen friendships develop at Writing Wine,
yeah.
and that's kind of a sidebar that I'm really happy to have played a role in that.
That's very nice. Okay, we're going to break for a couple of messages from our sponsors, and then we'll come back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. We got carried away here, those of you who are watching. We were just talking about the locations where Writing and Wine will be held, and you do have your calendar online. So let's talk about the locations again and some other things that we explored.
Sure. So an upcoming Writing and Wine is actually this Thursday. We're going to be at the Arlo Soho.
Mm-hmm.
And if you check my calendar, you can get the direct location of that. That's in Soho, New York, of course. That's on the 16th. On the 22nd, we'll be at the Hilton Midtown. And on June 8th, we're doing something different. We're going to be at Barnes & Noble from 1 to 3, and I'm calling it Writing & Wine Presents Writing & Coffee in the Afternoon at Barnes & Noble.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so
yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun, so come on out.
And that's where's that one located?
So that Barnes & Noble is at the Menlo Park Mall on
Parsons
Road.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
okay.
So they decided that they wanted to...
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump tweeting an apparent threat to wipe out Iran. On Twitter late yesterday, the president wrote, quote, "If Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran," warning Tehran not to threaten the United States. An amendment that would make abortion unconstitutional in Louisiana will be going to the state's Senate for a vote today. If the measure gets two-thirds approval in the Senate, it will go for a public vote in October. In Auburn, Alabama, one police officer was shot and killed late yesterday while two of his colleagues were injured at a trailer park. Here's Lee County Coroner Bill Harris.
It was a possible domestic disturbance at that residence, and when they responded, they were met with gunfire. And there is a manhunt on, I understand, at this time for this suspect.
And that suspect's been identified as 29-year-old Grady Wayne Wilkes. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, my gut. We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, well, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry.
Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Those in the southern plains should brace for more bad weather today, more thunderstorms that could unleash more tornadoes, like happened over the weekend. An 8-year-old Texas girl is safe after she was grabbed off the street while on a walk with her mom on Saturday. It happened in Fort Worth early yesterday morning on a tip from two church members who recognized a vehicle from an Amber Alert. Investigators showed up at a hotel, and they found the girl in a room with a 51-year-old man who is now under arrest. Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg says he is not concerned about what President Trump tweets, although he understands why so many people are.
Look, it's mesmerizing. It's hard for anybody to look away. Me too. It is the nature of grotesque things that you can't look away.
The president talks about his Twitter use on another Fox program last night.
Yes. I've destroyed bills that were going to be voted on that were bad, and I've gotten bills passed that were good by using Twitter.
That from The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton on Fox, and this is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
A Utah man is charged with making terroristic threats after he posted comments saying that he would come to YouTube's headquarters and shoot its employees. Authorities say 35-year-old David Levon Swanson was arrested on Saturday after posting threats under YouTube videos four times, beginning in September of 2018, allegedly referring to murdering YouTube executives as well. Swanson reportedly posted most of his comments on videos criticizing YouTube's free speech practices. Just after San Francisco voted to ban police use of facial recognition, a new report is out on the NYPD's questionable use of that technology. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The department used the photo of Woody Harrelson in its facial recognition program. They were attempting to ID a beer thief who actually looked like the actor. Georgetown University Center of Privacy and Technology highlighted the April 2017 incident in a report on what it says are flawed practices in law enforcement's use of facial recognition. According to the report, security footage of the thief was just too pixelated and produced no matches, while high-quality images of Harrelson returned several possible matches and did lead to an arrest. The report says facial recognition has helped the NYPD crack about 2,900 cases in more than 5 years of using the technology.
That's Wendy King, and for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
All the way up. Okay. Okay, good morning, everyone. This is Janice Kovach, and today is the first day of our live broadcast and podcast. I am here with Riley Karsh, who is also a just so you know, I am mayor of the town of Clinton, and Riley is with me on council. Our conversations over the next couple of months are really going to focus on what impacts you, your family, and your community, whether it's through legislation or policies, mostly at the local and state level. But, you know, we may have some issues when it comes to the federal, too, and have some discussions around that. So welcome, Riley.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Michelle, thank you for joining us and keeping us posted. Everyone say hi, wave.
Hello.
Your camera's right there.
I got turned my camera. Sorry, everybody.
Anyway, so listen, there's going to be a lot of topics of conversation that we're going to talk about. One of the ones that I really want to focus on today is, you know, you've all been hearing about what's going on with marijuana in New Jersey, or as the state is now calling it, the cannabis industry. We've recently, you know, we've gone through multiple iterations of legislation. As many of you know, it is medically legal in New Jersey. There are six dispensaries throughout the state, six licenses that have been issued. There has been an expansion, and an additional six are in process at this point in time. The recreational aspect was supposed to go live in March, and the legislature didn't have the votes. So the conversation has now been around what's the next step? Do we expand the medical? Do we create a new legislation for the medical? And then the same thing around expungement as well. I'm going to put these on. So, you know, where it's at this point in time is medical is expanding. Like I said, the six additional licenses. And there is a new bill. They bifurcated the recreation and medical piece in the state legislature, and they're going to be looking to expand the medical piece of it. In addition, there is another bill that apparently was dropped or will be dropping for today, and that is the expungement of 2 ounces or less. So with that, let's start the conversation. And you know, Riley and I had at our council meeting last week, we had a conversation or a discussion with the head of the New Jersey cannabis industry, and he talked a little bit about it. So, you know, from a perspective of, you know, both as a parent, as a resident, and as a councilwoman, what are some of your thoughts?
So I think the first thing that strikes me when we start talking about the cannabis industry nationally and statewide and locally is kind of there's a lot of misunderstanding about what the industry actually is, what
True.
The access really looks like, who is really accessing medical marijuana, and why. And so I think one of the things we really would like to do, and I think as a parent I would like to know about, is what's really happening. What is, you know, not what the news is telling us is happening, but what are the people on the ground experiencing, and mm-hmm. what is it like to go to a medical marijuana facility if you have an end-stage cancer and you're receiving medical marijuana as a prescription, or I just learned doctors don't actually prescribe it. They suggested, or there was another term. I can't remember what they said. But, you know, that your doctor, between you and your doctor, you've decided that this is the right course of treatment. What does it look like when you go to a facility and you fill your, you know, prescription? So I would say maybe we start with talking a little bit about what we've recently learned. You've been doing this longer than me, but what I recently learned about is that it's really kind of when you go to one of these dispensaries to fill your prescription, it's not kind of what we all think about from the movies or pop culture of, you know, you're walking down the streets in San Francisco in the Haight and you're walking into a head shop.
Right.
It's not that. It's a much more medical experience. So
right.
Do you want to kind of talk about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, so I've toured both facilities in Colorado and in California just to kind of understand how it works. You know, to your point, growing up, you know, it was always, you know, don't do drugs or just say no.
Right.
So to kind of be open to marijuana, and maybe if I call it cannabis, it makes me feel a little bit different, and it's not marijuana.
Definitely.
I'm not smoking
Definitely.
Pot.
Right.
So it's, you know, when you talk about regulation, I don't think, and I think we talked about this at the council meeting, opioids are not regulated to the extent that marijuana is regulated
right.
in New Jersey, or even in any of the other states that have it legal now. I mean, there is, each plant has to be identified. Each cultivation from the plant is identified. Everything has a tracking number assigned to it so that you know if any of whatever's left from the one plant and then goes on to the next, you know exactly what's happened and you can track that plant. In fact, we had one of the dispensaries came and talked to our group, our elected officials group, and talked about they have cameras all over their grow facility.
With a live stream.
Right, to the Department of Health. Exactly. And the Department of Health can call and say, listen, I can't see plant, you know, show me where plant ABC is and, you know, who's working on plant ABC. And then they have to make sure that there's a camera there. And that the individual can see it, which just, it, to me, is unbelievable.
The other thing I found fascinating, just from a kind of a process perspective, is the people that are working in these facilities are highly trained professionals. So we're talking about people from Rutgers Agricultural School,
right,
who have spent, you know, their entire lives understanding horticulture and what it means to grow things. And as a person who has no green thumb, I find that
fascinating. Oh, yeah, no, I don't either.
I can't grow anything. I have to go to the, you know, the farmer's market for everything. But, you know, these are highly paid, well-respected individuals who are professionals in this field, and not necessarily in the field of cannabis to begin with, but in the field of horticulture and how to grow things and take care of our environment. And I think really importantly, these are highly paid, highly skilled individuals. So if you're thinking about what's it going to look like if, a grow operation opens in my town, who's going to be working there? Is it like, you know, teenager or even college-age kid,
right,
who doesn't know what they're doing? It's you know, it's somebody who could look like us, but, you know, that could grow things.
Right. That has PhD.
Yes, exactly.
The chemists,
exactly,
and everything. And what's the other point to that, too, is you have to go through background checks.
Yes.
It's not just anyone. You know, you're not getting hired, you know, as if you're down at the candy store,
right,
or anything like that. I don't even know that the liquor stores have to do background checks the way that the cannabis industry does. So, and if you've got any sort of a record, you're completely cut out, not just from working, but also from obtaining a license. You know, once this kind of expands, you don't have an opportunity to even be a part of the industry unless you have no record. So this is, you know, to your point, these are highly paid jobs. These are not the $12, $15 an hour jobs that you're looking at. You may have some of the cultivators who are out there cutting the,
right,
plants, maybe making, but they're still making between $15 and $20 an hour. This,
right,
is not a, you know, a summer internship or
That's
summer
right.
job for a kid.
Yeah, and so if you're thinking about it in terms of, if you get past the question of is it good, is it bad, right?
Right.
And if you're thinking about, which is a fair question and one that, you know, everyone has the right to an opinion on, but if you're thinking about it beyond that in terms of the economics of your town, if you're interested in having one of these operations come into your town and you're thinking about that, we're talking about kind of highly skilled labor coming into your town, essentially having disposable income to spend in your town. So obviously we are coming from the perspective of a town center where we have a main street that we're supporting and helping. And so we want, you know, these sort of high wage, lesser impact industries, maybe not this industry, I don't know yet, but industries in our municipality that will allow us to help support the other businesses that are there. So it's just one consideration in a whole litany of things that, you know, everyone has to think about and talk about with their communities and figure out what's right for them. But it is something that kind of gets left out of the conversation because we're all sitting on the fence of, well, is this something that's good or bad for our community versus,
right,
you know, the rest of the,
yeah,
consideration.
Right. Am I going to smell it? You know, am I going to, you know, is someone going to be smoking walking down the street?
Right. Exactly.
You know, and here's the interesting piece of it, right? It's the same as, same ban as smoking. Most municipalities don't allow smoking in public on their public property,
right,
or restaurants don't allow it. So, no, you're not going to be smelling it. You know, could be someone be driving by? I'm sure. You know, listen, there's always going to have – you're always going to have that anyway.
I mean, that happens now.
It happens now. True.
Don't quote me on that, but
– no, I'm sure it does.
I've seen it.
You're not going to – they're not smoking lounges.
Right.
And a lot of times – I mean, right away we're thinking of the marijuana cigarette, but it really – a lot of times it is in forms of edibles as well as oils and lotions that are the highest that's what people are really looking for,
right,
because it's depending on what it is they need it. You know, if they've expanded what you can have it for. So migraines and PTSD, obviously cancer patients have been using it as well. So it's not necessarily just that you're going to have someone out smoking a marijuana cigarette.
Right.
The same thing with the drug-free school zone. you know, you're not going to have to worry about someone selling it on the street corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, although, listen, I shouldn't say that. There's always going to be someone selling it on a street corner.
And we're always worried about it.
And we're always worried about
exactly.
it. But it's not that image that we all have of
right.
just someone or with the bong or whatever it may be. So, you know, it really is, from a medical use perspective, there's a lot of other ways to ingest marijuana.
And I think most – I forget exactly what the gentleman said at our meeting, but I think most medical marijuana subscribers are ingesting it in other ways.
Right.
And, you know, there's rules on – the location in which you can
exactly
do it. There's when you get a prescription filled, you have a whole extended conversation with the person you're getting it from, who explains to you how to use it, where to use it, what the effects will be. You know, can you safely operate a vehicle with it? Can you, you know, how long will the effects last? You know, it's not like if you're thinking about, you know, college age kids who are just out at a party getting high. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who are ill, who are using these products at home to
right.
help them, you know, tolerate, deal with, and treat their whatever their illness is. So, you know, as we're talking about this medical aspect of it,
right.
it's important to keep that in mind in kind of what the real ramifications are for people. Because, you know, I'm a parent of young children. I don't want somebody smoking pot on the walker's path up to CVS.
Right,
and then
exactly.
walking past it, I don't think that would be positive. I also don't want people smoking cigarettes or getting drunk there. So there's just as a side note.
Right.
Or,
it's
you know,
the same thing.
I really don't want random people there at all. I think that would be terrible. But, you know, just something to bear in mind when we're talking about
right.
this.
And the same thing with the facilities themselves. They are enclosed, so it's not going to be, you know, you're going to have the farmer's field with marijuana plants growing. It really is. And they have all kinds of ventilation issues.
They have scrubbers. They have everything. And, you know, I think that goes to our conversation earlier of there's so much about this industry that is myth and comes from all of our experiences and growing up and all
exactly.
the, you know, Cheech and Chong movies, whatever.
Oh,
you
absolutely. Those
you
are
know,
the best.
All of those movies you think of, you know, and that's the image I had in my mind. And then I've spent a fair bit of time educating myself on what's really happening. And so I think to the mayor's point, it's not, you know, fields and fields of marijuana with people with guns standing around it. So just something to bear in mind.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a commercial break right now, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the licensing as it moves forward. So let's see.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-908-908. 713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, welcome back. We finished our commercial break. All right, everyone be patient because this is first day on the job, so to speak.
We're learning as we go.
We're getting the rules as we go along. So we talked a little bit, obviously, you know, how does this work in New Jersey? And for those of you that know, New Jersey is a home rule state, so municipalities have the option to zone the way they want to zone, whatever it may be. And one of the things that – so currently there is one license. It is a what they call a vertically integrated license. So the when you get a license for cannabis, it is to grow, manufacture, wholesale, and then retail. Doesn't mean they all have to be done in the same location, but that you have that opportunity. Currently, there is the state sales tax on the existing license, but there is nothing for the municipality. You know, this is obviously the other question we always come up with, you know, if you have these facilities, whether it be a grow or manufacture or retail, what does that mean from to the town itself, to the cost of police? Because right away, that's the first thing everyone goes to, what, you know, do I need more police officers? Right. The new bill would actually create four licenses, and what that would do is provide, so there's the first one, which is the grow license, the second, which is the cultivation manufacture, third one would be the wholesale, and the fourth one is the retail. For each of those licenses, a municipality has the option to collect a tax. So on the first on wholesale or on grow, it's a 2% tax. On cultivation, it's a 2% tax. On wholesale, it's a 1% tax. And on the retail, it's a 3% tax. The state tax goes away, but there's a $49 per ounce tax to that goes to the state. Now, I don't know that they've actually determined where that $49 is going to be applied, whether it's going to be at the first stage or at the last stage, but, you know, obviously that's a state tax, so we're not too worried about that from our perspective anyway.
Yes.
The other thing is towns have an opportunity to opt in or opt out. Once the bill passes, there's 180 days. If a town does not want to allow any sort of licensing, they would have to opt out. You can opt back in at any point in time, and you can opt out of specific licenses. So you don't have to opt out of everything. You can opt out of the dispensary portion of it or the grow facility, whatever it may be. So it's interesting that, you know, this could potentially be a benefit to some communities. Again, it's an issue that has become a hot topic. This is not a, I'm not quite sure. This is yes or no.
Right.
You know, and good or bad, I don't know. You know, I think it's what we want to do in Clinton. And listen, today's – any of these shows are not supposed to be about politics. It's really supposed to be about policy.
Yeah.
It's not about parties. It's not about anything other than all the discussions we're going to have are going to be around what impacts you, your family, and your community.
Yep.
You know, Riley and I are going to be doing this on a go-forward basis so that if you've got topics you want to talk about – please let us know.
Yes.
We're more than happy. And we've got some Facebook friends who have joined us. So to all of you who have joined us, Phil Mobus, Deb Howlett, Ann Thornton, and Mark Max of Clinton, thank you very much for joining us. It's great to have some people kind of
yes,
here
know
with
somebody's
us.
Somebody's listening as we're
talking. Exactly. Someone really cares about what we have to say.
Yes.
So, Riley, what do you think? I mean, from a – to put on your councilwoman hat for right now.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to, you know, as we start to talk about Clinton, what are some of your thoughts around what do we allow in Clinton? What should we allow? What are people saying in, who are residents?
So I think, you know, when I put on my councilwoman hat, as you say, and think about policy for town, I'm really, you know, I have my own personal opinions, but I'm really trying to take the temperature of the community and see what it is that the community wants. I view that as my job on council. I'm not there to push my own agenda. I'm there to represent the people that elected me, and even those who didn't vote for me, because you're still I'm still representing you. So I want to know, you know, from that perspective, kind of from the concept of good, bad, I would like to understand and have a better understanding of how people feel, because I think it's important. Now, with that said, I also really want people to get educated on the reality of medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, what it actually looks like, not what we're all afraid it looks like, or what we've all decided it's like, yay, it's the best thing ever. I don't think it's that black and white. I don't think it's that easy to say it's terrible, it's going to ruin everything, or, you know, it's great, it should be everywhere. I think it's important to educate yourselves and to do some research into what it really looks like. And it's important for me as a representative to be educated so that I can speak to those issues with people who have concerns, because, you know, everyone has concerns about it. As I've said before, I'm a parent of young kids. I don't necessarily, you know, I have my instinctual reactions to things, but I don't know that those are the right reactions. I think I would like to understand everything better before I make decisions. So from that perspective, you know, I'm really trying to take the temperature of the people I talk to. For the most part, the people I've talked to are positive about it, with the caveat of, you know, people being around the school, or as we've already discussed, you know, somebody walking down the street smoking pot. Nobody's really excited about that idea.
Right.
But from the perspective of, you know, economic development, which I should say I chair our economic development committee for town, and so I'm always thinking about how can we secure and improve our economy in town so that people have the services they need, and that our town continues to thrive and we're growing in population. And I think all of those things are good for everybody in town. And then from the perspective of economic development, I mean, a rateable is a rateable, and we're all kind of excited about the idea of revenue for the town, because we operate on a very tight budget.
Right.
We do a lot for our residents on that budget, and it's always great to have more money with which to improve our town, right? So from that perspective, it's kind of exciting.
Yes.
And, you know, I think I've said this to you many times. I want to know where that money's actually going to go if we're able to tax medical marijuana facilities. You know, if money goes to the state first, it's not coming back to us, I think.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know that everyone understands that out there, and I sure didn't before I started working in municipal government. But if money, you know, if there's tax revenue and it doesn't first come to the depositories of the town, we're probably never going to see it. So, you know, that aspect is always concerning. So I'd like to see where that ends up in the actual bill before I commit one way or the other. There will be an increased administrative cost.
Yes.
Whether they're rational or not.
True. Absolutely. Well, and according to the paper, to the article, the bill still does have the CFO, the town CFO, collecting the tax directly, similar to the hotel tax.
Right.
So that is obviously a positive, because, to your point, absolutely not. If it goes to the state first, and this is just because you have, you know, you think about New Jersey, you have 565 municipalities, 600 school districts, all funneling through one state entity.
Right.
And the ability, and, you know, again, 565 municipalities. Someone says they live in Clinton. I have to ask them to clarify, Clinton or Clinton Township?
Right.
I had a Facebook post or message from someone who actually lived in Clifton, you know, upset with me about something that was going on with their water. And then when I reached out, the individual sent back to me, oh, by the way, I live in Clifton, not Clinton. I'm like, okay, well, you know.
Not much we can do there.
Not much we can do. Glad it all worked out for you. But yes, to that point, you know, we need to be able to ensure that any of that revenue comes back to the town. And we would have to be clear, you know, that whatever we're spending has to, in some way, shape, or form, you know, benefit the residents, and that if we should consider any of the licenses, that none of those costs are borne by residents.
Yeah.
No, or the ratepayer, the taxpayers of the town.
Absolutely.
You know, those are the biggest things that we all have to think about. Now, so talk a little bit about the recreational piece. You know, 'cause this was interesting, watching the dynamics of how it was happening down at the state.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting to the vote count, because obviously in the Senate, there's 40 senators, you need 21 votes in order to make it pass. I think they were short just two or three votes.
Right.
The Assembly, I'm not quite sure where their numbers were. I think they had the numbers to pass the recreational use, but then there was a slight change to the bill, I guess probably a week before they were going to put it up to the floor for vote, and that was the expungement.
Right.
So this becomes the other issue. This is the social justice aspect of the legislation from the recreational perspective. And initially, the original bill was expungement of records of 50 grams or less. It changed to 5 pounds or less.
Which is a massive change.
Which is a massive change for a lot of people, and especially for those who are on the fence.
Right.
You know, and again, I get this. This is not an easy yes or no.
Right.
I mean, this is a philosophical discussion. This is what some people look at as a moral discussion.
Yep.
You know, how do you justify... Now, if you look at from the social justice side of it, the ACLU and the NAACP will say, well, my education was 50 grams or less is really nothing for a lot of those individuals.
Right.
You know, 5 pounds is probably more of a reasonable, because you're going to have individuals or businesses selling thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
And now you've got people who are excluded from ever being able to be in the industry because they had 5 pounds.
Or they're stuck in jail.
Or they're stuck in jail.
And you have people selling significantly more than 5 pounds, and then somebody's sitting in a prison for having had 5 pounds. So it's,
right.
I think that's an extremely complicated issue.
Yes.
And it is a matter of social justice. And I think for anyone listening and thinking about this, if you can imagine some other issue becoming decriminalized and yet having people sitting in jail for the thing that you just decriminalized, you can see how it becomes very difficult to sustain, right?
Right.
To look at somebody in the face who's sitting in a prison for a crime that is no longer illegal and tell them too bad. I think that that's very hard to stomach and hard for most of us who are thinking about it. For most of us to get beyond, to say,
right.
Yeah, you should still be in prison for something that now, you know, is commonplace and people are making lots of money on and the state is getting money for. And so I think that becomes a very difficult issue. And that's something that, you know, if you haven't spent time thinking about, I would encourage you to and figure out kind of where you fall on that spectrum, even before you talk about whether you want marijuana in your town or not, just the social ramifications and the consequences to people, particularly people of color, in that instance are huge, and they deserve more attention than they're getting, I think.
Right. No, I don't disagree. You know, it's, and this, again, everyone needs to be engaged in these issues.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you do elect us to represent, you know, at the local level, at the county level, at the state level. But we need to hear from our constituents to understand what's the tolerance. I mean, to Riley's point, my goal is not to impose my values on anyone,
right.
But to understand what are the values of my community. And if that means that our community is not ready for any sort of a license, I can completely respect that.
Yep.
It, you know, that is what we're here for, is to, you know, to understand what's important to everyone. And the same thing with your state legislators. You know, it's easy to share a soundbite, but to educate yourself on the issues and what it really means. I mean, and that's, again, you know, I'm going to reiterate, that's what this show is about. We want to talk about those policies and those pieces that are going to have an impact on your everyday life.
Yeah.
You know, and if you need to, you know, if you have a thought that you want to share, You can email me. You can most people know how to find me, whether it's through social media. But if not, you can email me at Janice Kovach, and that's K-O-V-A-C-H, at Comcast.net. Riley, what your email?
It's my first name, which is R-I-E-L-L-Y dot Karsh, K-A-R-S-H, at gmail.com.
So, you know, please reach out to us. Give us your, you know, share your thoughts. If you disagree with anything we say, that's fine, too. I mean, this is really all about making sure we're giving you the information that you need to make informed decisions.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we have our own personal opinions, but we both come from the same, and they don't always match, just for anyone who's interested. We don't agree on everything.
Absolutely true.
but we have a deep respect for each other, so it's always a civil disagreement. But, you know, if you disagree with us or you have a different opinion or perspective, I encourage you to share that. I think I try to keep my door open. I keep myself open to new ideas and new ways of thinking so that I'm never shutting down opportunity.
Right.
Right. And so it's my goal as a representative to listen and then to move forward with the will of the town.
Absolutely. And we're also going to have, so there's going to be other individuals that will be joining us over multiple shows so that we can have conversations and bring differing points of view. Again, to Riley's point, we definitely don't agree on everything. I mean, that's how we have healthy conversations. And it's not a matter of me changing my opinion, but maybe opening myself up to other ways of looking at something.
Right.
You know, we get set in our ways without even thinking about it. And it's really hard sometimes to listen to someone who disagrees with you, especially in this environment. So if we can at least start a dialogue, there is, you know, we can call into the show. I apologize. I don't know what the number is right now, but I'll make sure I have it for next week. Or actually, next week is a holiday, so we won't be here next week, but for the following week. And then we can continue the conversation. We are going to go to a quick commercial break right now.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we are back for our last 15 minutes or so And again, for those of you listening, we appreciate it. You know, talk to everyone. But again, if you have questions, if you have concerns, if there's something you want to talk about, you know, just because we're talking about marijuana today doesn't mean we can't have a continued conversation about it based on input from anyone who's listening or some of what their thoughts are.
And so, the laws haven't even passed yet. So the laws are extremely fluid. Things could change at any time. So, you know, just stay tuned for more information
right, as
we go forward and we see what the legislature winds up actually doing and how they change things and what last minute kind of toss-ins they put in the bills and things like that. So, you know, I think as everyone probably is aware, things could change and we could be having a totally different conversation around marijuana legalization. So
absolutely. I believe the decriminalization is the next piece of what they're looking at, and that may be discussed today. Today's Monday, right? Yes, today's Monday. Yeah. I have to make sure I get the days right. Thursday in legislature. But they're talking about decriminalization, which would decriminalize anyone with 2 ounces or less.
Right.
And what that looks like, again, you know, decriminalization versus expanding to recreational, another whole discussion probably to be had just on that.
Yeah.
You know, the legislature is talking about whether if they do the medical now or if the governor decides to expand medical through executive order, then does recreational come up in what is considered lame duck, you know, post-election before January? Or if not, does it go on the ballot in 2020 as a referendum?
Which just to, you know, I think referendums are something that people maybe don't understand the consequences of necessarily. I think there's, you know, like anything, there's pros and cons. The great thing is everyone who votes gets a say, right?
Right.
You can vote. You know, if you choose to vote, which hopefully you do, you get to say yes or no to
right, the
question. And then this whole conversation we've been having around trying to understand where people are at and what people think about it becomes, you know, we get a really clear answer. Either it's a yes or a no. But then the other side of that is when a referendum passes, we kind of wind up in a no man's land legally of, well, what does that mean for the town?
Right. Does it become the Wild West?
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to kind of...
So, you know, you question about... With legislation, there are guidelines set, obviously, in the legislation that you hope will give municipalities our home rule advantage of actually determining if and where we would want to locate any of these facilities. From there, once the legislation passes, you know, one of the things they've talked about. So right now, medical is located within the Department of Health. If recreational were to go through legislation, that group would then go to Department of Treasury. Interesting place to put it. Okay. For the licensing determination.
Yeah.
Because, again, obviously, you know, this is a revenue stream, so Treasury makes sense. There would be a commission of appointees set up by the governor to help what they call promulgate the rules. So that they would have, you know, between 12 and 18 months to actually write the rules around future licensing. I think with a referendum, it passes, and then, okay, now what do we do? Do we take a piece of the legislation and create this commission? Where does it go? How does it operate? And what happens, you know, does that take away the individual municipality's rights under municipal land use law to zone?
Right.
You know, because the existing legislation would give the municipalities the opportunity to designate time, location, and hours of operation, what they can, can't do. I don't know that a referendum necessarily does that. Hopefully, eventually it would, but it could open us up.
It creates a lot of uncertainty, which I think for people who are already talking about something that they're generally uncertain about, then you have this added layer of, well, okay, so we voted and it passed, or we voted and it didn't pass.
Right.
What, now what? And so I think the better course of action would likely be to actually create some legislation that people can agree on and get passed, and then, you know, as you were just describing, have a commission that is promulgating the rules and is explaining how everything's going to work as opposed to doing it in reverse. So it's, you know, a little bit of the cart before the horse. for the horse before the cart.
Horse before the cart, no, before the horse.
Well, I had it right the first time. This is why I don't get sayings. I never get them right. So, you know, it's just, you know, again, another aspect to consider. As I'm sure you, if you are listening to us, I'm sure you could tell this is extremely complicated. It's been broken into multiple different legislations. It's, you know, it's hard to keep track of everything. And so part of why we want to do this is to help, you know, we spend an absurd amount of time trying to understand just what's happening, what's being changed, what's yeah. being taken away, what's being added. So that we can distill that into pieces of information that are actually understandable when, you know, when we can understand them and share that with you guys. So,
right.
But just it is a complicated, it's complicated legally and it's complicated socially. So,
absolutely. You know, and obviously it's still federally, it's still an illegal drug.
Yes, so you have extra layer, right?
So, you know, you're adding, a state is creating something, and obviously it's happened in other states.
Yep.
You know, other states have legalized it. Colorado, California, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York and Florida both have a medical component.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the things that I liked about how we were doing it is legislation was really looking at best practices from a lot of different places. I understand that the tax issue was a huge piece of it. You know, the state obviously needs revenue. Municipalities would need to benefit in some way, shape, or form because there is an additional cost for an industry such as this, at least until it becomes more mainstream, I would imagine.
Yep.
But, you know, to be able to then go through and watch how everyone is doing it, say, okay, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do this, but yep. this really works well. You know, I think that's what's really key. And again, feedback. Your legislators are there for a reason, and they are there to represent you. This obviously, you know, towns aren't going to do anything until the state decides what its piece is going to be and how it's going to work.
Right.
So, yes, we can be your voice to the legislature, but share with your legislators. You know, their offices are open to your comments, your criticism, whatever it may be,
right.
so that they're aware and they vote based on not their conscience, but what their constituents want as well.
And I think just to back up for a second, and I know we're almost out of time.
You got 4 minutes.
But just when you are educating yourselves and you realize there's very few studies on the efficacy of medical marijuana, to your point about this being not, it's considered a Schedule I substance
right.
based on the federal guidelines. And so there are no studies in the United States on marijuana because studies need to go through the FDA, and the FDA considers this a substance with no medical benefit.
Right.
And so you can look to Europe and Canada for information on kind of those sorts of studies, but just so you're aware that it's not that it hasn't been studied, it's that it hasn't been studied in the United States because of the federal prohibition. So,
right.
You know, and that's, you know, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it is the reality of the current situation. So,
where we're currently at.
Yeah, just something to note. And I do hope people will start understanding this and researching this because I think the better educated we all are on anything that's going on in our communities, the better off we all are.
Right.
So.
No, absolutely. I mean, and that goes to the point. We had our council meeting, land use board combined meeting last week because, now obviously, like I said, I've done a lot of research. And again, I couldn't even give you my opinion completely either way. I mean, it's still being formed as I continue to learn and educate myself. But same thing for, you know, the residents who come to council meetings as well as council and land use board. We had step one of probably multiple steps to understand not just the industry in New Jersey, but the industry overall. You know, some of the benefits based on studies that the industry experts have obtained.
Right.
And listen, you can skew any data to however you want it to read. We see that with polling. We see that with anything and everything. So, you know, get as much information as possible, educate yourself, and really try to understand, you know, what's important to you and to your community.
Right.
And, you know, think about, you know, what your thoughts are on it. And again, we want everyone to share with us as much as possible. If you have thoughts on other topics for conversation, again, we're open to discussion. I think one of our shows will probably do affordable housing, which is
many of our shows. I feel
many
like
of our shows.
Show
I know
topic.
That is a multiple show topic. But going forward, please reach out to us, either Riley Karsh or myself, and we look forward to working with you guys and talking to you for the next couple of months and years and however long we go forward.
Thanks,
so,
everyone.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In Alabama, a manhunt continues for the gunman who shot and killed one police officer and wounded two others in a trailer park last night. It happened as the police were responding to a domestic disturbance in Auburn, and a police spokesman says of the suspect,
Grady Wayne Wilkes, a white male suspect who is 29 years of age, last seen armed and definitely considered dangerous.
President Trump raising some eyebrows with what appears to be a threat to Iran, tweeting late yesterday, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. People in the southern plain states could see even worse weather today than they had over the weekend. Forecasters expect thunderstorms could again spark some twisters and other dangerous weather. Ford says it's cutting 7,000 jobs by August. And this is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Members of the U.S. military in Iraq are said to be on high alert at this hour following a rocket attack earlier. The rocket landed outside the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. No casualties were reported. The Trump administration recently ordering U.S. diplomatic personnel out of Iraq due to heightened tensions with Iran. We told you moments ago about 7,000 layoffs by Ford expected by August. Getting more information now, word is about 2,400 of those jobs would be cut in North America. It's no secret that President Trump uses Twitter a lot as his primary method of communication, and he addressed his use of Twitter in an interview that aired last night on Fox.
I've destroyed bills that were going to be voted on that were bad, and I've gotten bills passed that were good by using Twitter. And Twitter is really a typewriter for me. It's really not Twitter. It's Twitter goes on television. If they have breaking news, I'll tweet. I'll say, watch this. Boom.
That on Fox is The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton, and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The national average for a gallon of gasoline has declined again in the past 7 days. John Clemens has more.
A trio of factors can be attributed to the drop in gasoline prices.
The seasonal adjustments at refineries is wrapping up, while the price of oil has declined to $63 per barrel, which is a drop of $3. Patrick DeHaan is with GasBuddy.com.
Average gas prices across the country have dropped about 2 cents per gallon, the national average falling to $2.86 per gallon.
A billionaire investor paying off the student debts for the new class of Morehouse College graduates. Robert F. Smith made the stunning announcement as he delivered the commencement address over the weekend at that all-male, historically black college in Georgia. He said, quote, "You great Morehouse men are bound only by the limits of your own conviction and creativity." Morehouse says Smith promised as much as $40 million to make sure that each graduate leaves college debt-free. And Woodstock 50 organizers moving forward with the festival with a new financial partner after breaking ties from the original backers. Investment bank Oppenheimer & Company has agreed to fund the festival, which is set to take place.